Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. And we thank you for being here today, and thank you, Praise Band, for leading us. Last week, we began a new sermon series entitled Back to the Basics. Who sent their kids to school this week? Anybody? Did they survive? No, they said no. We sent Gracie to school, and it was quite the experience, and she made it back, and she did okay. So they're in the process of going back to school, and we are also, as a church, going back to the basics for us to remember what God has called us to do as Christians and what we are supposed to be as the body of Christ. And last week, I gave you some questions, and I asked you, I said, you know, are you smarter than your kids going back to school? Remember me asking you those questions? And we said, hey, you know, as they're learning these basics, do you know the basics? So I thought we would do round two. Can you handle round two? Can you handle? Okay, somebody said, what is the distance around a circle called? Good job. Excellent circumference. What is the name of the boy who visits the chocolate factory in Willy Wonka? Charlie, good job. What? Hey, here's one. You ready? Where in Scotland is the supposedly monster named Nessie? Oh, you guys are so smart. Where's it at? Loch Ness. All right, here's a big one. What fictional detective lived at 2221B Baker Street? Oh, man. Hey, I think you need to look at your neighbor and say, you're smart this morning. Go ahead and look at them. You're pretty smart. So if you guys were taking a literature class this morning, you would have done pretty good. But when we look at the Word of God, looking at what we are called to do, our purposes is as a church, our purposes as Christians, going back to the basics, we ask ourselves, do you know what you're supposed to be doing as a child of God? Now, we have this little slogan that we're saying through this series, and I want you to say it with me. It's on your sheet, and it's on the screen. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church and give glory to a great God. Do y'all believe that this morning? That if we apply the principles of the great commandment and the great commission, that we will see God receive great glory and our church will grow in the process. Now, we began digging into the Great Commandment last week. The Great Commandment is a section of Scripture found in the book of Matthew chapter 22. We looked at the first part about that. Let's look at the next part of it again today. We'll reread the whole passage. Verse 36, Jesus says, the guy asked Jesus, he says, teacher, what's the greatest command in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. We learned last week that our first purpose is to do what to the Lord? Is to worship the Lord. But look at what else Jesus says. He says, this is the greatest and most important command. But the second is like it. Meaning what? That he elevates the second to being just as important as the first. And Jesus says what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all the law and all the prophets depend on these two commands. Lord, may you bless the Word of God today. Jesus teaches us that we, yes, are to love God. And part of our purposes is to worship the Lord with our total being. But likewise, we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. As we discover the purposes of the church and we discover the purposes for our lives, you'll quickly discover that one of the reasons God put us on this earth was to love other people. It was to love and to care for people. The big five, the five purposes of your life, one of them is to worship God, but the next one is to minister. The purpose of the church is to minister. God has put Life Community Church where she needs to be to worship God, but also to minister to the community. Likewise, not only the church is supposed to minister, and we're going to explain what ministry is here in a second, but you yourself are supposed to minister. The purpose of my life is to minister. Now you start saying these words, makes us a little nervous, doesn't it? Because when you think of minister, what do you think of? You think of the preacher, right? You think of some guy that went through seminary, some guy that has been ordained this or that, and you think that. Now let me explain this really quick. We all have a call of God to minister. It looks different in different areas. Now some people are called to a vocational ministry, which is what God has called me to do. My vocation in my life is to be a pastor. I went to seminary, I went to Bible college, I did all that. I've seen churches, I've led churches through growth, through hiring staff, through organizing. The Bible tells me in Ephesians 4 that I'm supposed to equip the people of God for works of ministry. It's part of what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to oversee the congregation. It's part of my calling. I'm supposed to preach and teach the word and all kinds of different stuff. And that is a special calling that some people receive as a vocational minister. And some of you are thinking, well, Kenny, I'm not called to be a vocational minister. I've never been to college. I've never been ordained. I've never done this. I've never done that. Yada, 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 yada. So how do you expect me to minister? Well, you have to understand and define what ministry is. Now, I have a ministry that I'm called into, such as pastoring. And by the way, it'll be 10 years of pastoring in the local church next February. Isn't that awesome? You know, I'm excited about that, 10 years straight. Looking forward to that. It's been about 20 years of preaching and about 10 years of being in the local church, so I'm excited about that. But what's cool, with all that being said, what's cool about that is that we need to understand that the pastors of a church are not the only ministers of a church. They're not. They're not the only ministers of a church. We have to define what we mean by ministry today. Because I'm telling you, if only the pastors are the only ones who do ministry, let me tell you what's going to happen. Everything's going to burn down. I mean, the children are going to be running out screaming. You know, all the potlucks are going to be toast. I mean, it's not going to be good, all right? But ministry goes so much deeper that every believer in the Lord has a ministry. And they have something that God is doing and using them through. Some of you don't believe that, but it's true because it's one of the purposes of your life is to love your neighbor. Let's define ministry. Let's define it really quick. And I put it on your outline. I minister when I meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of people in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like the Good Samaritan did. If you want a definition of ministering, it's when you find a person and you see what they're dealing with physically in their body, their issues, their living circumstances, their food issues, rent issues, bill issues, things like that. Their emotional issues, if they're going through grief, loneliness, depression, whatever. You look at their spiritual issues, if they're far from God, hurting, questioning God, or dealing with issues. And you come along to those people that are hurting, and you as a Christian, you wrap your arms around them in the name of Jesus. And you're not just doing humanitarian good deeds. You are reaching out in the name of Jesus, touching in the name of Christ, helping their physical situation, helping their emotional situation, helping their spiritual situation, just like the Good Samaritan did. Now, some of you all don't know the story of the Good Samaritan. That's okay. Luke 10, Jesus was asked a question. He said, okay, if I'm to love my neighbor, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells this really cool story. And he talks about a guy, a Jew that's walking down the hill, and he gets beat up, he gets mugged, left there to die. And this priest comes by, ignores him. Another junior priest comes by, ignores him. And then this Samaritan from another country, a foreigner, comes and picks that guy up, picks up his bloody bandages, his bloody wounds, and puts him on a donkey, carries him to an inn. He pays for the guy to get better. He works with the guy. And then Jesus says, well, who do you think the neighbor was? And the obvious answer was the one that had mercy on him. So ministry is simply this. It's when you find somebody who's broken down physically, emotionally, spiritually, who's laying in your path, and you go and wrap your arms around that person in the name of Jesus to love them and to help them, whoever they are. And when we miss those opportunities, we're missing one of the reasons that God has put us on this earth, and that's to minister to people. So last time I checked, I'm pretty sure you don't have to get a Master of Divinity to help somebody. Are y'all with me on that? Sometimes I think my Master of Divinity made me dumber than what it did, made me smarter. Sometimes I feel that way. But at the same time, we know that ministry is simply showing compassion to those that are hurting. That's all it is. And likewise, it should be part of our daily lives. It should be part of us finding and helping people. That's what loving your neighbor is all about. It's not just saying, yo, dude, I love you. Bro love, amen, you know. It's not just that. It's actually showing compassion, physical, emotional, spiritual, getting your hands dirty in the name of Jesus because somebody's in your path and somebody needs you to reach out and touch them. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever needed in your life somebody to reach out and touch you and to help you? I have several times. And you know what? I will probably still need people to reach out and to help me in my life. But there are people in your life right now that God has called you to for you to minister to them. It's not just preaching a sermon. It's not just leading a Bible study. Those are various forms of ministry, but not the only types of ministry. Ministry is actually much harder. It's getting them on the dirt and the crack and the blood of those that are hurting. That's what ministry is. And every single person here has bloody people that they live around, that they work with, that's in their families, that are just waiting for you to live out your purpose of helping them in the name of Jesus. And this is more than just Sunday morning. This goes deeper into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. But how can I minister if I'm not having a church service? See, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Ministry is more than Sunday. Oh no, surely not. Surely yes. Let's explore it. How can ministry be part of my daily life? Four things. I want you to see this, that God created me and saved me to minister. No, he didn't, Kenny. No. He created me to do this or that, but he didn't create me and save me to minister to people. Sure he did. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, through 8 through 10, for you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's God's gift. It's not from works so that no one can boast. Aren't you glad today that we're not saved because of some good deed that we do? Because how many good deeds are enough to save you? The Bible's clear. It's by grace, not from yourself. But then it goes on to say, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in him. Some translations say we are God's workmanship. We are his poema in the Greek, which means what? That we are his poem. We are his masterpiece. We are set apart to do great things for God. Understand this. You can never discover your ministry until you discover Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Never. You're saved by grace. Notice that. Not of yourselves. Paul made that very, very clear. It's not of yourselves. You have to receive grace in Jesus Christ first before you can ever do good things for the Lord. So why do we do good things? Paul said that we are saved by grace, not of works. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But yet, we are still created to do good works. So do we do good works to be saved? No. We do good works because we are saved. That's what Paul's saying. Because we are Christians, we do good works and good deeds. It's the reason God made you. It's the reason he saved you. It's to restore you to be a light and a blessing to other people. Likewise, this is your purpose in life, is to love people and to help people. When I was in college, I worked with the ministry. You've heard me talk about it. It was a construction ministry. It's really ironic because I'm more of a board stretcher kind of guy. You know what I mean by that? Some of you do, don't you? You know, and I wasn't very construction minded at all, but I worked with this church camp that brought in kids to do home repair on houses. And every year we would always see these kids. They would pay to go to camp. They would have a job site assigned to them to fix a house or a roof of a needy person. They would have all the tools laid out for them. And some kid would just sit there on the sideline. Every year you'd see that. There'd just be some kid that just, his mom paid for him to get there. He's got the job laid out for him. And he's just sitting there not wanting to do the work. And, you know, I thought about that. And I thought, you know, how true is that of our own lives? God has put us in neighborhoods. He's put us in communities. He's put us in job places and where we work at to minister to people. And we sit there with our arms folded and saying, I ain't going to minister to those people. I'm not going to do that. I want to do something else. Everybody always wants to get called into vocational ministry. When I'm saying this, why don't you just minister where you are? Because I don't get paid for it. Well, who cares? Can I tell you something, guys? Your ministry, it's going to change your life. You ready? Is where you work at. Your ministry is the cul-de-sac you live on. Your ministry are your neighbors that touch you. You want to know your purpose? Take a look at where you're planted. That's it. Take a look at the coworkers you work with and see how you can physically, emotionally, and spiritually help those people. But I don't like my neighbors. Well, you need to repent. Amen. You need to repent, and you need to start blessing them in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine what this church would look like if every one of us just said, you know what, I'm going to adopt my street, and I'm going to get to know every single person on this street, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to have a cookout at my house, and I'm not going to invite church people. I'm going to invite my neighbors, and I'm going to love on them, and I'm going to care for them. And I'm going to wrap my arms around them in the name of Jesus and tell them that if they have an emergency in the middle of the night, to call me because I'll be there for them. What would that do to Owensboro, Kentucky? What would it do to it? Change it. See, if you could just understand that you were created and saved for ministry wherever you are, you would make a difference. You would make a difference. And God would do a great work in your life. A great work in your life. You were saved and created for ministry. Second, did you know God gives you gifts to minister? God has given me gifts to minister. Peter says this, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve who? Come on, use it to serve who? Others. There you go. Don't fall asleep. As good managers of the varied grace of God. Peter confirms exactly what Paul says, that every Christian has a spiritual gift. And Peter says that we are to use those gifts to what? To serve one another, to help people, and to bless people with those spiritual gifts that God has given us and equipped us with. So what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is simply an ability, a special ability, given by the Holy Spirit to every believer when they're saved to be used to minister to others and to build up the body of Christ. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Everybody does. Now, you may not have the same one that your neighbor has, nor do you need the same one your neighbor has. Everybody works together, and we all do something unique and something special to serve the Lord together. That's why we're put together in the church, because this person has this gift, and that person has this gift, and when you put them together, great stuff happens. Amen? That's what happens. But yet we're told to use our gifts. Well, can you want our spiritual gifts? What do they look like? You know, you can go through the scripture, and you can study the various places where spiritual gifts are mentioned. And you can kind of classify them. There's gifts of evangelism, such as preaching and missions and church planting and mission training and evangelistic planning. There's discipleship gifts such as teaching and wisdom and discernment. There are gifts of fellowship to serve, to create hospitality, to shepherd people. Some people are gifted to create community. I was telling somebody that last night. God has just blessed them that they can just do something at their house and they create a Christian community. And they're using their gifts for God. Tell somebody that just last night. There are gifts of worship, such as music and singing, but also arts and crafts and decorating and intercessory prayer. Some people are gifted to pray. We all are to pray, but these are folks that can just labor and tarry on through the night. Some people are gifted with that, and others aren't. See, we all have different gifts, and when we use these gifts for the Lord, great stuff happens. Well, Kenny, I just don't know my gift. You ready? Here's how you find out your gift. You go to 301 class. No, but that is a good way to start, isn't it? Good 301 is a good way to get to learn that, right? But that, no. Here's how you really learn your gift. You ready? You just start serving. When you just start helping people, guess what happens? It emerges from you. You try to host a fellowship at your house. And here's the thing. You can do something at your house. Maybe you can get a bunch of church people to come. You probably got the gift of fellowship in you. Maybe you can't get any church people to come, but you can get all the neighborhood to come. Then you got a gift of evangelism. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You just use what you've got for the glory of God. And the way you do that is you just start doing it. How do you not know you don't have the gift of teaching if you never volunteer to teach a class? How do you know you don't have the gift of service until you're walking through those bathrooms, picking up stuff off the floor and flushing toilets and making sure it's clean? How do you not know that? How do you not know you don't have a gift of compassion until you go mow that neighbor's yard and bless them? See, you don't know until you just start experimenting. Amen? And when you start doing stuff and it starts ringing your bell and you get excited and it lights you up, guess what? That's probably your what? Your gift. It's probably your gift. No chore for me to preach. I love to preach the gospel. I love it. I love to preach. That's one of my gifts. I love to study. I love to read. I love to prepare. I love it. It's not a chore for me. It's not a task for me. I love to preach the gospel. It's one of my spiritual gifts. I love church planting. One of my spiritual gifts. It's what God has equipped me for. But there's other things in your life that the Lord has equipped you for. You just got to get out there and start doing it. Look at your neighbor and say, just try something. Just try something. And you'll discover your spiritual gift. Next, did you know that God places me in a church to minister? God places me in a church to minister. Those folks that always want to say, you know, I don't have to go to God. I don't have to go to church to worship God. I don't need a church to worship God. Well, then what do you do with all the commands in Scripture of helping the church family? All the commands in Scripture. Well, I love God, I just don't go to church. Okay, well, then what do you do about God's Word when He tells you to serve in the church? It's like Tom T. Hall used to say, me and Jesus got our own thing going, man. The dumbest thing ever, ain't it, you know? You and Jesus don't got your own thing going. You do what Jesus says, period. You don't tell Him how you're going to work out a deal. That's dumb. You do what He says. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all. Y'all believe that? Everybody. We serve everybody. But look what He says, for those who belong, but especially for those who belong to the what? Household of faith. Paul says that we are to keep our eyes open and watch. And everyone deserves to be ministered to. The person at the gas station, our neighbor, but especially those in the house of God. You know, I have people call the office all the time. And they want help on their bills or help on this or that. And I'll ask them a question. I'll say, well, let me ask you, are you connected to a local church? And they'll say, well, no. And I'll tell them this. I said, you know, at our church, I have yet to see somebody who's connected to the body, even at Life Community Church and in the other churches I've served in, that had a genuine need that was not met. And I told them, I said, you know, if you just understand that being part of a body of Christ, how important that was, some good stuff would happen in your life by being committed. Why? Because you're connected to each other, amen? If you're not connected, you're just a stranger on the phone line. But if you're connected to each other, we know you, amen? We're connected. And even serving in the church is so important. There's so many great ways, set up and working with children and greeting and ushering and helping decorate and all the stuff that goes on a Sunday morning in here. It's pretty amazing. And by the way, don't you appreciate Life Community, every single person that comes and sets all this stuff up every Sunday? I do. I appreciate them. It's a Sunday. Most of y'all sleeping when they're hauling sound equipment, amen? I appreciate them. And I can't say thank you enough. They're awesome. And you know what else happens if you come early? You didn't ask for this, so I'm going to give it to you. If you come early, there might even be donuts for you. God blesses those that come early to serve. It's awesome. And God does great stuff. But we understand that there's even a place for us to minister in our local churches. Did you all know that? You are to serve in the local church. And this is what's so wild. Your ministry is not just in the local church. It's outside the local church. And it's not just outside the local church. It's inside the local church. Okay, that seems like a lot of ministry. Welcome to the life of following Jesus. Welcome to the life of following Christ. And I want to tell you something. When you serve in the church, boy, it's a lot of fun. If you want to see where the strong fellowship of this church is, come at 7:30 next Sunday. There is a strong fellowship and camaraderie and prayer and a bond that happens right here every Sunday. Well, I just don't think the fellowship's strong because you're not coming at 7:30. Amen. Or oh me today. I had to brag on the setup team. I got here today about 7:45, 50, because I had to go by the ministry center this morning. And they already had all the stuff out of the truck. And here's what I said. I said, y'all knew I was preaching on ministry today, so you're overachieving, aren't you? You know, you're overachieving. So I thank God for those that are serving. This church has already seen dinners taken to people that are sick. People that have sacrificed vehicles to take people to conferences. We've spent time in hospitals and funeral homes already in this church. We've mowed a couple of yards. We've cooked a couple of meals. And there's more to come. Amen. Finally, I want you to see this. So important. God holds me accountable to minister. Now, don't ever forget this part. Kenny, you got 4 points. That's a long sermon today when normally you're long-winded anyway, right? Well, it's that important I had to put 4 in there. Paul says, for we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ so that each may be, listen, repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. Understand this. Those that don't know Jesus will go before what's called the great white throne judgment, and they'll be condemned and judged in their sins. We that know Christ will go into glory, not by what we've done, but by the grace of God. But that does not mean that the believer will still not face judgment. The Bible is really clear that even the Christian still gets judged. Are they getting into heaven on this judgment? No. Their ticket is paid for by the grace of God at this judgment. It's a different judgment. It's a different kind of judgment. It doesn't determine whether or not you go to heaven or hell. You are saved by grace, you're going to heaven. But here's what it is. I don't know what it'll look like. But according to what Paul said, every one of you all that are a believer in Jesus will one day stand face to face with Jesus Christ. And He's going to ask you what you did with your life and how you ministered to people. And you're going to have to explain it. Is that a sobering thought, yes or no? It will be a day of reckoning. It will be a day of revelation. It will also be a day of rewards. The Bible says that you'll be judged on the ministry that you did. Well, what you built upon. Your worthless deeds will be burned up, the Bible says. But those that you built, that you served and helped people and loved people and blessed people with, those will be the ones that are rewarded. And somebody will say, well, what do I need with rewards in heaven? Why do I need rewards in heaven? Here's why. The Bible says in Revelation that we take our crowns and we do what? We cast them at the who? At the feet of, you ready? We go to heaven because we're saved by grace. We get rewards on how we minister. When we stand before Jesus, everything we've done to minister to people will be transformed into a crown, which we will lay at the feet of Jesus to say thank you. Let me ask you a question. How's your thank you pile in front of Jesus right now? How's your thank you pile? How's your thank you pile? That's where ministry is. It's how you give your life over to the Lord to bless people and to help people. You know, the churches all across the United States are crumbling and falling apart. Why? Why is this happening? Why are people just rejecting Christianity left and right? And I don't know the answer except for this. I can't blame the secular media. I can't blame the Supreme Court. I can't blame any of that. But I can simply look in the mirror and ask this question. Am I showing the love of Jesus to these lost people? Because if I show the love of Jesus to people the way I'm supposed to, you know what? There's nothing to walk away from, church. There's nothing to walk away from. It's beautiful. And it's good. I ask you this question, and I'm done. If you're the Good Samaritan walking down that path, your job, your career, your family, your neighborhood, your city, who you're connected to right now, who is laying on your path right now that's been beat up physically, that's been put down emotionally, and has been locked up spiritually. Right now, who's on your path? That you, as a Christ follower, need to reach your arms out and show Jesus. And show Jesus. Aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago, we were the ones that were bloodied on that path, and Jesus Christ reached down and died on a cross for us? Aren't you glad that He scooped us off of that path with His nail-scarred hands to give us grace and mercy? And today, if you've never accepted Jesus, oh, how He wants to scoop you up and save you and give you a brand new beginning. But if you're a believer today, Jesus is now saying, live out your purpose. Look who's on your path. Scoop down and help them. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You and we thank You very much for Jesus, what He did for us on the cross. And God, in this moment now, we just pray that You, Lord, would bring people to our mind that are hurting. Bring neighborhoods to our mind that are drug infested, that are in poverty. Bring people to our mind that we work with, that we're related to, that are just beat up and broke down. And God, we're not there to judge them, but to love them and to help them. Father, I pray that this church will always be a church that wants to help people and love people. And God, I just pray you'll make all of us into ministers of the gospel. So Jesus, we pray today that we would love our neighbors, love our streets, love our communities, love those we work with, and to bring them Jesus. So Lord, move us today, not just to pray for people, but to scoop them up and to help them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we sing, we invite you to come and pray. If you need to make a decision today, would you come today and unite with the church, give your life to Jesus, to make a commitment of any kind? We invite you to come today as we sing today.